KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Mountain View.
San Rafael.
Lower Haight, San Francisco.
Brentwood.
Corte Madera.
Pleasant Hill.
Inner Richmond in San Francisco.
Montclair in Oakland.
Tiburon.
Sausalito.
Japantown, San Francisco.
Berkeley, California.
Coming up, San Francisco Unified celebrates the achievement of its African American students.
I feel like in public schools, we aren't really represented. And with this event, it's kind of representing us as a whole. It's embracing our culture and it's embracing our beauty.
Then musician Jules Indelicato shares what it's like to sing a song with toxic lyrics for 3 days straight.
You open up the door of your mind and invite this other thing in that then takes over.
Songs of the Patriarchy, coming up on Cross Currents. Stay with us. For the past quarter century, San Francisco Unified's African-American educators have been honoring the achievements of Black students who earn a 3.0 grade point average or above. It's an annual event, and it's taken many forms: a parade, a break from the school day with a boxed lunch. But for years now, it's been held in the cavernous St. Mary's Cathedral, where 1,500 students were honored last month. KALW's education reporter Lee Romney brings us inside to meet this year's MCs and a couple of inspiring guests.
Are you on this side.
Are you a community person? Are you just a parent?
A parent.
You can sit right here or there.
Okay, perfect. My name is Faye Anderson. I am a former principal. I've been retired for about 13 years now. It's just wonderful for our African-American students to be acknowledged for their scholarship and their perseverance, because sometimes it takes a lot with all the circumstances going on in their lives to achieve. Well, we're in a huge facility, the cathedral, because it's so open and so beautiful and so spiritual. People come with that kind of feeling of importance.
Testing, testing, testing.
My name is Virginia Marshall. I am the chairperson of the African American Honor Roll.
Hi. You made it.
All right, where's your pen?
So I don't have a pen.
Oh, come on now. MCs always have a pen.
I'm sorry.
Where's your pen?
I didn't bring a pen.
My name is Camilla Brown. I am a senior at Wallenberg High School. I am one of the MCs tonight. I am 17 years old. I've been going to this event since I was in fourth grade. I feel like in public schools, we aren't really represented. And with this event, it's kind of representing us as a whole. It's embracing our culture and it's embracing our beauty.
My name is Benjamin Bennett, and I'm a senior at Mission High School, and I'm one of the MCs tonight. I'm 17. I believe that it's all about empowerment. If you tell them they can do something, they will be able to do it, and I feel like this ceremony does a very good job of that. It's a celebration of the youth's hard work.
Now, I'm honored to introduce to you two magnificent young people who will be our MCs for tonight.
I feel like African-American females and males are both portrayed as negative, and it's kind of just insane how we aren't really recognized for our beauty and we aren't recognized for the goods.
So when I say I am, you're gonna say black.
Like social media, they wanna cover the bads because that's just how society portrays us today.
Elementary school, teachers would always set the bar low for me. I was actually in the classes where there were only like two or three kids in for a few weeks until my dad, he went up there and made a fuss and, you know, this kid doesn't deserve to be in these classes. And 2 years later, I was in accelerated classes, advanced classes. And as far as setting the bar high for me, I have teachers now that do that exact thing.
Welcome our 4.0 students.
I have a teacher at Mission High School, Mr. Roth. Shout out to Mr. Roth. He worked with the Black Panthers, but he's a white man. So it's very interesting to work with him. In one class, you might have a teacher that sets the bar really low for you, doesn't expect you to do very much. That's a teacher that you just have to blow away. And when it comes to those teachers that set the bar high for you, you got to reach that bar. You got to go get it.
She's the African-American woman to be elected to the California State Board of Equalization, but she was on the Board of Supervisors for District 10. Please welcome the Honorable Malia Coyne.
I want to take a moment. I want to recognize the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the mothers and the fathers.
I got my inspiration from my father. My father was incarcerated before I was born. I actually didn't even know until about 6 months ago when he told me, because I was really struggling in school, and he told me. But he was able to prevail, push through, and he ended up getting a fellowship to Berkeley Law.
Yeah, we are celebrating our future.
My dream school is Howard University. My other top school is Morehouse. It seems like wherever you go, you find amazing black people that went to Morehouse College. I want to go into law, be a civil rights attorney, and hopefully I'll go from there. To seeing all these people that are in positions of power, it's empowering. Mayor London Breed, she grew up in Fillmore. Them just being in those seats alone makes a difference. It's exciting.
I hope to attend Brown University this fall. I will pursue the psychology route with a minor in biology. And after college, I will go to medical school and become a surgeon. I want to be a surgeon because I had to take care of my grandmother, who had a heart attack when I was around 10/11 years old. It did hurt me, truly. It crushed me seeing how my grandma was in pain, and she is still in pain today. I noticed that she was not being treated with respect as a person, as an African-American female, or even as a female in general. I did have some tough times to the point where I was a bad student and I did act obnoxious. My message to the smaller kids is just be who you want to be and keep on moving, keep on pursuing your goals. And even like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you go high. And that really struck with me throughout my high school years because I changed my ways and I went high and I went beyond.
This story is part of an ongoing series by KELW's education reporter Lee Romney. It's called Learning While Black, the Fight for Equity in San Francisco Schools. As part of her series, Lee dug deep into the struggles families face while navigating the special education system. Community groups and families are holding an event to share their experiences and to brainstorm improvements. That's on March 21st, and it's at the African American Art and Culture Complex. You can go too. Just register at our website. KLW is the media sponsor. You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Imagine being asked to sing a song with lyrics that disgust you. Now, what if you had to perform that song nonstop for 3 days? Well, Bay Area musician Jules and Delicato did just that when they took part in an art project called Romantic Songs of the Patriarchy.
It was a 3-day long durational performance art piece. It took 30 incredibly talented women and non-binary people. They stationed them with guitars throughout the women's building. And for 8 hours a day, we played songs on repeat that were popular, very well-received songs about love, about loving women, but with incredibly toxic lyrics.
He followed me down the street like I knew he would, because a guy is a guy wherever he may be.
Comes home to you, I'm warning you.
Well, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man.
Don't deny your man's desire. You'd be a fool to stop this time.
Then she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss.
The point of the piece was, as you would listen to these songs that you grew up with, that you really hold dear to yourself and others, you realize just how deeply the subliminal messages of toxicity and violence are woven into our culture. We were each given songs. The songs were not our choice. I got Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones.
Under my thumb, the girl who once had me down.
My whole demeanor when performing this song was very full of myself and suave and proud that I had tamed this wild beast. The difference in the clothes she wears, it's down to me. The change has come. She's under my thumb. There I was, the first day. First few repetitions.
Under my thumb.
Oh man, my fingers are gonna get tired. Do I have to pee?
Under
my thumb. A couple
more.
A couple after that.
Under my thumb.
I feel my feet firmly on the floor. A couple more.
Had me down.
I feel my voice getting stronger.
The girl who wants.
A couple more. I'm meditating on one tiny shudder.
Yes, it is.
One small inflection that I make at the end of one verse. A couple more after that, and your mind goes completely blank. Almost like you open up the door of your mind and invite this other thing in that then takes over. And you are the art, and you are this song singing out of your body. And at the end of the song, there's this gigantic release that becomes greater and greater with every repetition. And then a breath, and you start again. You stop seeing it in the in the lens of time, and it becomes more of a sculpture or a painting. In the first minute, people would come in, they'd realize what song I'm singing, and excitement would come over their face, like, oh, honey, she's doing the Rolling Stones. Listen. And by the end of the first chorus, I'd see the smile kind of leave. And I'd see them start to fidget. And I'd see their eyes kind of searching to lock onto mine. By the end of the song, many people would just break down. And then afterwards, I would see these people walk away with almost a look of embarrassment or shame on their faces, just this bashful nod of acknowledgement. There was this one very emotional turn where I had really, really gotten into it and really started to feel like I was that person in the song, that toxic, powerful, snide man with no shame. And I'm singing my heart out, very subdued, but very intense. And I look up, and this woman is crouched in the corner, clutching her heart and clutching her mouth with her other hands and just shaking her head and sobbing. And I look up with a sneer and a smile on my face right as I say, "She's under my thumb." And at that moment, my throat caught up in my chest and my eyes started welling up, and I look at her and she looks at me, and I realize that some of this is kind of seeping into my body. Some of this pride in some of this like snarky toxicity. I just felt so gross. And I look at her on the ground and I see how much she's going through. And then I look up and I realize that there's a little girl in the room and she's watching this whole interaction. And she's been there for the whole song. And I don't see her parents around anywhere. And then I think about her. And I think about all of the songs that she's heard today.
Girl, you'll be your woman soon.
And how she's growing up being shaped by this same stuff. And it kind of just made me really overwhelmed at how deeply hurt we are by pop culture.
Try to domesticate you, but you're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature.
And the way that they try to define us and shape us.
And that's why I'm a good girl. I know you want it. I know you want it. I know you want it. You're a good girl. Can't let it get past me.
And so I wanted to stand up right there and just leave. But I sat back down and I took a breath and I started the song again and again and again, the whole while just thinking about how this is necessary, how this magnifying glass that we're casting on pop culture right now is so necessary in these times.
Under my thumb, the girl who once had me down. Under my thumb, the girl who once pushed me around. It's down to me, yes it is. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. Change has come, she's under my thumb. Ain't it the truth, babe?
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me.
That was Jules Indelicato performing the Rolling Stones' Under My Thumb. The song was part of an art project that Jules took part in at the Women's Building in San Francisco. It's called Romantic Songs of the Patriarchy. That audio story was produced by Magnolia McKay. And Magnolia is a fellow in our audio academy, and we just opened up the application period for the next batch. Find out more at kalw.org and apply. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. Taxi drivers are notorious for refusing to pick up black riders, but are Uber and Lyft drivers any better?
The driver can see your name and your location before they pick you up. And based on those things, they might come to conclusions about who's going to get into their car.
We'll talk about discrimination in the ride-hail industry tomorrow on Cross Currents. This music is by San Francisco singer Ashley Wilson. She's performing at Piano Fight Friday night.
It was a Sunday when you came around to tell me all about how you had let me down. I didn't know what you were gonna say when the door opened on that fateful day.
The Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Kevin McLean, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Quinn, and Eli Wirtschafter. Our engineers are James Rowlands, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And we've got just a little more time, so we're going to leave you with another edition of KALW's My Mixtape. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
This is KALW, My Mixtape.
Happy New Year. My Mixtape.
My Mixtape.
My Mixtape is...
one song.
I got a song.
My name is Rodessa Jones, and my early beginnings was upstate New York, and my song is...
Sitting in the morning sun.
Otis Redding's Sitting by the Dock of the Bay. It was my first feel about San Francisco. I wanted to come to San Francisco, and I'm hearing this song. And I find out later it was Otis Redding's last. You know, he died in a car crash.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
The emotionality behind a song that pulled me into a moment in time. The rich loneliness of the whistling at the end of the song. And the whole idea as an artist that you could write something so personal and it could resonate with so many people. It was like a major hit for him. Yeah, and it changed this colored girl's life.
2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.